this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
I'm not a Krusty Krab.
Ah, man, greetings and salutations, good people. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock Lunchbox. For those of you watching from the future, welcome to the top 20. Welcome to my humble abode that I have put in a backdrop, a cool microphone, a nice shirt. I did not shave today. Can't have everything you want. I am going to turn up the volume in the headphones. I'm going to lean over like this. Ah, much better. I like it. It's nice to see the chat is already at work. Yeah. Yep. Fighting about the Islanders already. You know, it's funny. One of the, like, there are a few things about New York that I find more amusing than the sports teams. Like, kind of rivalries. It's just great. The state of New York just gave out, I think it was 8 or 9 licenses for online sports betting. And they were saying they expected to bring in like $50 million or something over the fiscal year, which honestly sounds light, but they were saying, that, you know, the reason like New York is such a prime market because of all the sports teams. Like, New York has a sports team in every sport, and multiples, you know what I mean? So, like, you can be a Mets fan, you can be a Yankees fan, Giants and Jets, Islanders and Rangers. Like, it's just funny. But they were saying that, you know, most of that money is lost to Vegas because Vegas allows gambling and stuff like that. But a lot of it's been getting lost to Jersey now because Jersey legalized online sports gambling, like last year, and I think Connecticut just did it. So I'm all for it. Like, this was kind of my argument with weed and stuff, like, because like Massachusetts has legal recreational weed, and have for a while, and both of my of age children have been to Massachusetts paying Massachusetts taxes on Massachusetts weed. And that's great because that's where it's, you know, it's going. But I would honestly love to have some of that money come and stay in New York. And the moment they legalize it here, like, I think even if I don't need any, I'm going to go get some because I just love the idea of walking into a store and being like, hey, man, let me get some Purple Kush or whatever they're selling that day. And, you know, let me get that. Let me get some peanut butter. A hammer, Eagles, never mind. But yeah, so I thought it was really good. It's kind of a weird thing. It's like, because you don't want to necessarily exploit people's vices like that, right? Like, why is this being such a dick? Sorry. You don't want to necessarily exploit people's vices like that because that's not being a good human. And as I believe it was Jesus that once said, do not exploit people's vices, unless, of course, it's on the Hard Rock Lunchbox, and then that's okay. Jesus, very smart dude. Also, not a sponsor. I was going somewhere with that. Was it going over there? No. Was it going over there? No. Oh, right. Exploiting people's vices. Like, the reality is, like, you don't want to do that, right? You really don't. They used to have, or maybe they still have, it's a tax on alcohol, gasoline, and tobacco. And it's called, or referred to, as the sin tax. Not in writing, not syntax. Sin, as in mortal sin or deadly sin. And then tax, because these were taxes on vices. Like, people are going to do this anyway, and they tax you as kind of a punishment for doing them. But I know in the case of tobacco specifically, a lot of those taxes were set up to, or were created so that there would actually be a fund to take care of the people that would eventually get sick from smoking and stuff like that. And I know, like, the New York State Lottery somewhat famously used to, and might still, but used to help pay for public education, which I think is funny.
because I think the more educated you are, the less you play lotteries. But I don't know. It's funny. But point is, people are going to do what they're going to do, and as much of the sins that I'm doing and I engage in, it's just not all that much. But like, I have no problem. Like, if those taxes help pay for local resources. I think it's a great idea, and I think it was hella stupid that both Nassau and Suffolk County turned down the referendum whenever years ago that we did it, but now that it's been passed by the state, it's too bad, Nassau and Suffolk County. I mean, you guys can decide to not have it, but I swear on all that's holy, like, I will vote anybody out of office in Suffolk County that just doesn't take advantage of this. And if you think, like, being able to buy weed at, like, five places in Suffolk County is going to, like, create a weed epidemic or anything like that, or heaven help people have gateway drugs into like opioids. So I got news for you. Doctors are the gateway to opioids. We've proven that over and over again. Rich white people with extra pills for every sneeze they take are the problem there, not weed. People that are going to smoke weed are going to smoke weed anyway. Just because I was under 21 did not mean I was not drinking alcohol. That's foolish. And if you're thinking that way, you are a fool. That's what foolish means. So why don't we just open this up? If you can go buy a cheeseburger from McDonald's that's going to kill you, at the very least, you should be able to enjoy some weed first. That's my weed opinion for the week. In other news, there's always other news. The new top 20 is out. I don't know that I could tell you. I wrote it down. It's here somewhere. The new top 20 is out. Please check it out. Please like and subscribe to Strangerhood TV. Just do it. I realize I'm not doing a great job of promoting it. I'm really just kind of really out of time a lot of days. Like, I've been late all day today. Like, it's just past noon and I've been late all day today. So, like, I don't think I even got here on time. Like, I was going to try and do something today that I'll talk about a little bit later. I might still try and test it because why not? You guys are cool. I'm kind of cool. Maybe we'll see what's going on. I cannot get this microphone in the right place. It's that kind of day, ladies and gentlemen. It's that kind of day. What kind of day? The kind of day that you can do anything you want to be. Show. I think that's Blue's Clues, right? Anyway, the new top 20's out. Check that out. Also, I reposted the interview with Miss Annie Stoic because I got the video from her. Her video went to spam, which I assume is where all of Annie's emails should go, right? Spam. So we pulled it out of spam, and I did redo the top 20 from 2 weeks ago with a live interview of Ms. Stoic. I would check it out. Annie is a great guest, as I've said before. Super entertaining. A lot of stuff just happens to Annie. I love those stories, and her being in a different place in her career and her environment, is, like I said last week, is always interesting to me to find out. So that video is up, as is last week's top 20. And we are about a week in front of posting this video on next week's top 20. So be sure and check that out. I've got other information on Bacon Is My Podcast. The full interview with the Ansible is out. And then Paul Bromwell is the 7 questions. I don't know who that is. I did not get a chance to do the 7 questions. Like I said, I've been late all day. I do want to take a minute to point out something, though. Bacon Is My Podcast is doing something called the Bimpy Awards, which will be out, I guess, sometime in January. I have been notified that my issue episode of 7 questions is currently leading the pack in votes. Now, the votes are counted by you good people, people that are in the listening audience, in the BIMP listen audience and the Hard Rock Lunchbox top 20 listening audience. If you can get yourself over to the Bacon Is My Podcast Patreon account, you can vote. You do not have to be a Patreon member, but you can vote. And I normally do not jockey for these kinds of things. I always appreciate when I get voted for anything. I just generally don't promote them because I have trouble engaging in that level of competition. I just do. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. I never feel deserving of any of it. But I am always appreciative of it when it happens. I've actually won several awards over the years. And every single one of them was unexpected. And every single one of them is appreciated. Like, I just recently won an Elephant Indie Talk Award. I don't even remember what it was for, to be perfectly honest. I remember because I messaged Jerry, who runs Elephant Talk, and I was like, I think this is the first one I have ever won. And I'll have to double-check what it's for. It couldn't have been the cover, because that didn't come out yet. But speaking of which, did you hear our new cover? Anybody like that one? But I would appreciate if you could vote. And to be perfectly honest, the main reason I want to win this is because I have seen the award, and I would really like to get my hands on this award. It'll actually go up. I have a place of distinction. I have where I won Male Vocalist of the Year and Rock Band of the Year. Like, I actually have those trophies up and out. They're upstairs. I don't have them here. I should have them here. I should keep them, like, right. Like, they should be right here. But I would love to add that. It's funny, my producer, Eddie won an Emmy, and he won an Emmy for doing sound for the U.S. Open, the tennis match. And he won an actual, honest-to-God Emmy. And when he did that, he made what I still consider to be the world's greatest business card in the world. So, picture... You listening cannot picture this, but next week you can picture. So picture this is the Emmy. This microphone is the Emmy Award. You've seen it. It's like the big, looks like a world and stuff like that. So he took a picture of the Emmy and him at a desk, but the Emmy is here and Eddie is all the way back here. And that was his business card. And I thought that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I might do that once I win the Bimpy Award. In other news, we've got a show this Saturday. Bad Mary and All New Episode are playing. Oh, Enter the Cosmic? I didn't know they were playing. I should pay attention more. Also, upcoming releases, Calling All the Creeps from Jackknife Stiletto is supposedly releasing this Friday. I guess we'll see. Brand new music from Something Heavy. It's been a little while. That's Surface will be releasing tomorrow as well. A little pre-happy birthday to my buddy Mikey, whose birthday happens to be tomorrow. Enjoy your spin around the sun. I'm going to talk about the show on Saturday a little bit later on, but I do want to just, if anyone's got to dip out of my listening audience, I do want to thank anyone and everyone that helped us do that show, was part of that audience, helped us take video of Dirty Deeds, anything and everything that you guys did, like even just buying tickets so that we didn't have to stress not selling enough tickets. Like, thank you guys so much. Like, you are such a huge part of making our shows great. And making our shows possible. So just, like I said, I'll talk more about the show a little bit later. But I did want to thank you for that. So I have something I want to talk about. And I don't think I'm going to get all emotional about it, but I might. I have to give you some context. And it has to do a lot with the new cover. We covered, if you don't know, we covered Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap from AC/DC. The reason we covered it is because we were just sort of jamming around one night, and it turns out that we all knew it. The reason, actually, the song, the cover version is in a different key is because I didn't know what key it was in, and I just started playing it, and I was like, oh, cool, let's do this. So we ended up keeping it in that key because I can sing it in that key. So that's the reason it's in. But that's kind of how that came about. And then we were asked to be part of a compilation of covers by the good people over at the After Hours Review, and they were putting together a whole compilation of bands doing their favorite covers and stuff, and that sort of fizzled out. I mean, I think Dan and V said that they might be doing something with a physical CD or a playlist or whatever, but I have not heard from them in a while about it, so I honestly don't know what they're doing, and it's not that big of a deal because they can do what they want to do. And, you know, we kind of just had our hand forced because we've had this, to be perfectly blunt, we've had Dirty Deeds out. Like, it's been ready since June, and we held it up this entire time because they couldn't finish their side of the project. So I just got tired of waiting. My band got tired of waiting, and we had this show, and we decided to release it. So that's why it took so long, but that's also why it's out now. So I don't know what they're going to do going forward. Hopefully they do something, but I don't know. I can't speak for them, and I just don't hear from them all that often, so I don't know what's up. But so here's the thing, and I'm gonna give you some context before I get into, because I know everybody loves when I give them context, right? Like, there's no better way to waste time on a radio show than to provide context. So here we go. So when I was in school, high school, early high school, so I'm gonna say I was 14 or 15 years old. I was in a band. We were about as good as you would expect. The band was called Sour Mash. It was called Sour Mash because Sour Mash is the thing, the precursor to making, like, whiskeys and stuff like that, specifically Jack Daniels, which at that time, me and all my friends drank. I do not drink Jack Daniels anymore because at the time, that was all me and my friends drank, and I have thrown it up enough times. You could also add to that list Southern Comfort, which I cannot even smell anymore without getting nauseous. So, a little bit about me. So the band was called Sour Mash. We played only covers. I was writing songs, but they were awful. I mean, awful. And awful to the point where I knew they were awful back then. But we used to play around the island. We played, I mean, it's funny that, you know, like, I should rail against cover bands as I got older. But, like, I think that when you're younger is when you should be in cover bands. And I think that cover bands kind of over a certain age is a little bit silly. Unless you're doing a tribute. But, again, that's different. But that's what we were doing. I was 15 years old. We were doing covers. We did a lot of Led Zeppelin. We did some AC/DC. We would do stuff like the Scorpions and that kind of stuff. And what you need to know about it is that we were all kids in high school basically doing our best. And we weren't bad. We were not terrible. We were not great. But we were not bad. We used to play backyard parties and get shut down by the cops. Every single stereotype of a high school band that you could expect, like, we nailed. Our first show, when we played at a place called Sparks in Huntington, the promoter ripped us off. Our very first show, we got ripped off by the promoter, and that should have told me everything I needed to know about music. So the band consisted of myself. I was not singing. I was just a guitar player. My buddy Bob Delboy, who was the drummer, and my buddy Ed Hanlon, who played bass, and we had a singer named Andy. We actually had two singers named Andy, and that's a story for another time. But myself and my friend Jason Caputo were the two guitar players. And we were from two different places. Like, you know, Jason, and this is just to describe it, Jason's family had some money. He had a really nice guitar. I think he took lessons. But Jason was very more bluesy, and he loved AC/DC. AC/DC was his thing. Anytime we brought in AC/DC, he did the solos on it. He took lead in the band, like how it should sound. And anytime we did like Led Zeppelin or something, that was always mine. And I would always do that and make sure that we played it right. And I would take the solos on those songs too. So it was just kind of funny. And it hit me about a month ago that of all the songs I've played over the years and all the bands I've covered over the years, that the first time I actually, like, record, produce, master, and, you know, send out to the world is an AC/DC song. Just struck me as funny. And I used this opportunity to use Facebook for exactly what it was intended. Well, actually, I guess the original intention was for Mark Zuckerberg to pick up girls. And as sleazy as that is, it is what it is. But the way the rest of us use it, which is to keep in touch with people that we normally just cannot keep in touch with. Well, Jason lives in Alaska. I do not run into him all that often. Or ever. But we have touched base over the years, mainly just to say hey or whatever. And so I had thought, once this comes out, I was definitely going to let him know, because it was funny to me that I was finally putting out a song that, technically, if this were over 20 years ago, he would have been running. He would have been running the show on. Just struck me as funny. Not a really big deal, but struck me as funny. But what I got out of the exchange was really, really super nice, and puts things in a lot of perspective for me as I trip through and struggle my way through, relationships with people in bands and music, and like the really some of the awful stuff that's happened to me specifically over the past, decade at the hands of like other bands and other musicians. Like, I mean, I know a lot of people don't see it because I don't really voice it all that often, but like the reality is like I have been treated like shit by so many people for absolutely no reason. I mean, and sometimes maybe there's even a little bit of a reason, but a little bit of a reason that would justify a conversation, not just treating somebody as bad as I get treated. I mean, I've been blackballed, I've been blacklisted, I've been cursed out, I've been, you know, basically kicked off of shows, like a whole bunch of things that, like, if I sat and told you, like, all of them, you'd be like, you have got to be kidding. Like, you'd pull one of those Patricks, like, no way. So, when I read what I'm about to read to you, it just was nice to hear about something that, and the way that I try and carry myself and conduct myself in even stuff today, but even as far back as then, I guess when I was learning how to do it, mattered. And it mattered to people that I have not spoken to in 20 plus years, and that's important. So, I'm going to just read you the exchange, because there's no better way to actually say what it was. So, this is the day it came out. Dirty Deeds came out last Friday, so I just posted the link to Jason's page, and I said exactly this. I said, it took more than 20 years, but I finally covered an AC/DC song for real. I think teenage you would be proud. And then I laughed and said, hope you're well. And that was basically it. And then my friend Ed actually commented on it first, said, yeah, we did a few in Sour Mash, which honestly, like, it's awesome that he even remembers the name of the band. I'm not sure that I would have right away, but, like, that was cool. And I was like, damn right we did. But here's... So Jason had said, damn nice, man. Adult me is proud, too. Which was awesome. But this is what Jason said, and this is what actually just stopped me kind of in my tracks. And this is the part that I wanted to share. So Jason says... not sure I ever shared this with you, but to this day, I appreciate your support during the Sour Mash days. Everyone in the band, and then he names like Ed, Bob, and Andy, and as well as our friends hanging out like Steve and Phil, and others that I've regrettably lost contact with, but still remember their faces. I felt we're such a loving crew, and I look back super fondly thinking of everyone. Then, add to that, you, another guitarist, allowing me in and giving me room to grow as a budding musician, sharing solo spots, encouraging me. Those situations can be fraught with negative competition, even as adults, much less junior high school. Well, I guess it was junior high school. I never felt that. Thanks, DJ. I think maybe we were all lucky we found each other and had that time together. I know I was. And, like... that was awesome. Like, that was really, really awesome. And just to kind of complete this, Ed, who was our bass player, that band changed my life. That band changed my life, and I still consider the whole band to be some of the best friends I've ever had. Playing with people you like is one of the most rewarding things you can do. And even Bob, the drummer who I have not spoken to in forever, it was a time I will never forget. You were all family to me. Jay, I still get chills when I hear the lead and you shook me, because when you hit those first couple of notes, it made the whole song come together. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a million years ago, right? And it made that sort of impact. And I'm not saying it was just me, because it wasn't. But it's about the environment that's created when people are trying to do something. And it would go on later, I would imagine, to really cement my idea of what it's like to be part of a team and to create this sort of conducive atmosphere for people to really excel, to have room to be things and do things. And It may not always seem like that's where I'm trying to go, because I have my own shit to shovel and I have my own securities and own problems and stuff. But to be perfectly honest, like, I am always happier in those spaces where people are comfortable to just do things, where it's okay to share ideas, even if they're stupid, even if they're bad. But maybe they have a place to go. Maybe they have a place to grow. You know, those kinds of things are important to me, and they manifest themselves in shows that we build and bands that we're friends with. It's something that manifests itself in all the New to You stuff and all the Long Island Rock Unplugged stuff. I mean, like, we used to joke with the Long Island Rock Unplugged, like, honestly, the mistakes made there, like, yeah, man, that's what made that show great. Like, the more mistakes, honestly, the better. Like, where else are you going to see that stuff? I love that. I love those kinds of things. And, like, intimacy is not the right word, but, like, the bonding and stuff that kind of comes out of that and what it leads people to do and what it lays comfort for people to start from. And I hope I do that for as many people as I possibly can in this life, and I hope I don't derail too many people whenever I get it wrong and stuff like that, but, like, it's just really nice to know that that sort of stuff exists and that I was part of something that put that into the ether that long ago and made that much of a difference. I have not thought about that band in 20 plus years. I've been busy working on other bands and other projects, but I did mention back to Jay in my comment back to him that, you know, I think that if I hadn't loved that time so much and that band so much, I can't imagine there would be any reason or any way I would have pursued that path for very long, because as anybody will tell you, not that I'm on such a scary level of musicianship or bandship, but if anybody on my level and probably a little lower or higher will tell you, it is one of the hardest goddamn things in the world to do this. I mean, you gotta understand, people are awful to you all the time. And then every now and then, people are just amazing. And those moments, I think, are why we keep doing it. So, that's awesome. And thanks for listening to my long, dumbass high school, or apparently junior high school story. I appreciate you giving me the time to indulge and giving me a comfortable space to just talk and do stuff wrong and make a fool of myself and hit the wrong button and show up late and ignore the chat and all this stuff that makes the Hard Rock Lunchbox so great. So I'm going to play some music and I'm going to talk to you about things we got coming up over the next, I don't know, 8 weeks left of the year. Can you even believe that? Oh, God, Jesus Christ. I don't know how it got to be November, but it did. So I'm going to play you some music so I can shut up and de-ignore the chat. Unignore? Re-ignore. No. Disignore. Disignore the chat. That's what I'm going to do next. But in the meantime, there's a little POD. Get your boom out.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
And the chat is still going with who's the best New York hockey team. And the answer is, yes, Carolina is the best hockey team. Yes. Kidding. I don't care. I don't follow hockey much. I don't. I do follow people that follow hockey, so I feel like that's, I don't care. I am a huge fan of Alice in Chains. That has nothing to do with hockey, but it's true, so why leave it out? The thing that always struck me about Alice in Chains, especially back when they were really big and really coming out, is the fact that Jerry Cantrell really was the engine behind that entire band. He wrote almost everything, and he hooked himself up with a singer that could just do an amazing job with what he had written. It literally was my goal in life to be Jerry Cantrell and find myself this amazing singer. At the time, I had a singer who wasn't very good, actually. He was very pitchy, but he had that sort of level of, like, stage and star appeal that people really responded to. He used to outsell everybody in terms of, and outdraw everybody in the band by a lot, because people just liked him. He had that quality. And as I would go through, like, more and more travels in my bands and stuff, I would come across singers that literally had this level of star quality and realize that I have never had such a thing in my band. And now that I am, you know, probably on the other side of that mountain in my musical career, it's probably not something I'm going to do or put together for any sort of serious project. But it would still be nice to just maybe hook up with, like, just a superstar quality vocalist, like somebody that just moves people. And I can't even think, I'm literally thinking like Taylor Swift, but I don't know that that would work. I'm trying to think of anybody that really impresses me like that, and I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. But, like, literally the three people I was thinking of was, of course, Lane Staley from Alice in Chains, and I was like, you know what would be good? Would be, like, Chester from Linkin Park, and, of course, Chris Cornell from Soundgarden. And, honestly, all three of them are currently unavailable, so probably not going to happen right now, but you never know what happens on the other side. But here's some brand new stuff from Jerry Cantrell. It's not my favorite, but I was definitely digging it. I felt like hearing it again, which means you get to hear it on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Now, as I'm sure you guys are aware, every now and then I play music that does not belong on something called the Hard Rock Lunch Box. And that time in today's episode is now. I have been laughing at this song. Well, not laughing, like, directly at it, but it just... Sometimes it's just funny to me. I don't know, man. I guess sometimes some country, some rock, and especially some hip hop are just funny to me, like, because of the way they word stuff. And this wouldn't normally be the section where I would talk about what a great wordsmith Eminem is, because he is. But in this particular case, I'm going to go with Lil Nas X, but it could be Lil Nas 10. I don't actually have any idea what the dude's name is, but I mean, the lyrics in this song are just like, they're on point, man, and I think we can all sit back and just give it a listen and totally agree with him, because that's what I want, or that's what I want, or whatever. He's not the best. I'll shut up. It's, I'm going to go with Lil Nas X. Nas X! I don't know. Here it is on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Ah, the chat proclaimed greatest of all time has a new video coming out tomorrow. Jackknife Stiletto will be releasing their video for Calling All the Creeps. If you happen to check out Annie's interview on the Hard Rock Lunch Box here, you will know just how creepy the video sounds without even seeing it. I can only imagine it'll be creepier still once you see it for real. Yeah, that's tomorrow. But right now...
Yeah.
Rock Lunch Box.
Yeah, man, when I play all four of those sounds, it can mean only one thing. It means that Mikey's got brand new music out. Well, it's true that Something Heavy has been a little quiet as of late, but makes sense considering they put out 722 singles in the first 2 weeks they were a band, so I guess they just took a little bit of a break and decided to put out something new now, just in time for the end of the year, where I don't know why. I was going somewhere, but then I stopped going there, and that's cool, too. Now, they released a song. No, they'll be releasing a song. This is me from the future. They'll be releasing a song tomorrow. The song is called Surface, truth be told. And full disclosure, I had a hand in helping along with this, so I may or may not be biased. But the truth is, I like the song so much that I wanted to help out in any way that I could. I honestly don't even remember all of the changes I suggested that Mikey kept, but I'm going to hope there's like 1 to 10 in there. But I'm going to take full credit if anybody asks, and that's just the way we do shit on the box. So it's time for brand new music from Something Heavy on the box.
Thank you.
Oh, man, I have not heard that song in ages. Stumbled across a song this past week while I was trolling for music. I actually don't even remember how I got there, which is kind of the beautiful part about, like, a Spotify sort of, you know, deep dive or wormhole or, wait, what's the word I'm looking for? Rabbit hole. Thank you. Thank you. Rabbit hole. I found my way around to this particular song that I've decided that I personally think I'm going to be covering. I started working on it a little bit, in my head a little bit. I don't know that the band would be interested in doing it, and that's fine. It doesn't necessarily meet the requirements of what we want to do whenever we do a cover. We either want to do something really well known, or we want to take something and make it our own. Maybe that's possible, but I am looking ahead to maybe putting together some acoustic performances in the coming year. And I've been in touch with some people about doing some stuff like that, returning some sort of unplugged shows back to the island, because I think they're fun, and I think I miss them, and I think other people do too, so maybe I'll break it out at one of those. But in the meantime, if you don't know the song, I would not be the least bit surprised, but you won't be able to say that tomorrow. The band has one of the greatest band names I have ever heard, and it's called The Super Jesus, which is goddamn what I need sometimes, and the song's called Gravity. And I like it a lot. And, yeah, man, I'm going to be playing it at somewhere near you sometime soon, probably. But now I'll play you the original on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Let's settle from the racer. So, I said I was going to talk about Saturday night, and I will. I thought Saturday night, our show with Buck Cherry at Mulcahy's, was really one of our better shows, like, that we have played in a very long time. There are things specific to the band that were not quite right, and there were things that were difficult about the setup that made it kind of uncomfortable. The fact that it looked like I swallowed a hot air balloon didn't help me any. But I'm working on that part, doing my best. There's only so much hating I can do in a two-hour show, right? Am I right? Why is this loose now?
Hang on.
God damn it. I don't even know. Okay, that's better. Sorry. I don't know. My microphone's just been, like, messing with me all day today. Is it my breath? I brushed my teeth. Promise, microphone. But we had a really good time. I thought it was interesting, the dynamics of the way that the audience worked, because obviously there are some big Buck Cherry fans, and for the most part, that's who was kind of up front when we were playing. And the last time that happened, well, it's... Obviously, they come up front to sort of reserve their spot and hang out because they want to be up front for Buck Cherry, which I understand. But I have been in situations where that didn't necessarily stick the whole time. People left, you know, get drinks and bathroom and all that other stuff. The last time that sort of happened was when we opened for Lacey Sturm, and people that came up front, they liked us and they stayed up front because we didn't scare them away. So that's always awesome when that happens. And that happened this time to the point where actually the only people that... the only people that I consider, like, to be there for Rebel 9 fans that were actually, like, right in front of me were Len and Lisa from The Rail. Like, everybody else was, like, either off to the side. Not that being in front of Kaz is a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, there were people off to the side, and there were people, like, a few rows back. And then there were people even further back. And I can't see past the first four rows because of the way the light works. So I could hear people, and I could definitely see people's phones and stuff like that, and that was cool. So I knew people existed, and I could also see people kind of, I could see movement. So, like, I could see people moving, and I just sort of assumed those are all our Rebel 9 fans. But, like, for as far as the audience goes, like, anybody that was there to see us or just happened to see us, like, you guys were awesome. And we made some new fans for sure, which was great, too. That'll be really good going forward. We did really well by the venue. I mean, the venue itself was very pleased with us. I've known a lot of the people there for years, and they were really happy with the way it turned out and the way that we were. I got a big thank you for the way we conducted ourselves as a band, which is nice in sort of like an environment where people tend to not bother telling you those kinds of things. So even that was all cool. So I'm hoping that all means, you know, more stuff going forward, and not just taking for granted the fact that we were able to turn a good show into a great show. And I think that that's something important and something that I and my band always strive to do. But I do hope that people enjoyed the show. We did squeeze out
a little bit of extra time to make sure we could play as much as possible, because anybody paying to see us, I think at the very least, deserves to actually see or hear as much Rebel 9 as possible. And I do want to thank everybody that has taken the time to not only video us when we did Dirty Deeds, but also send the video in to me. We're going to try and build a fan-based video for the song and release it that way, because I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun to do that. And big thanks to Jake from Fall of House Productions for coming in and filming it. He did a great job. He was funny. At one point, we were talking because it was very tight on stage. And maybe I'll talk about that more probably next week when I have more time to talk about. So, I guess I could talk about some. But thanks. We were talking about Jake because it was so tight up on stage. He was like, you know, is it cool if I get up on stage with you? And I was like, if you can. Because Jake, honestly, is the only one skinny enough to get up on stage with us. So it did kind of work out. And I will say the sort of the optics and imagery of having Jake running around filming the show actually lent itself to better optics. I've seen I've seen some video of the show. And it looks better. Like, it looks like, you know, we're a real band, basically. And that was kind of cool. Jake did send me 17 million gig of footage that I'll be clawing my way through at some point over probably the December break. But it was awesome and it was fun. It was really good to be there. I will say I had something happen to me on stage that has absolutely never happened to me before. Besides being incredibly nervous again before this show, which is definitely something I need to address and work on, because I cannot be that nervous before every show. It's not good for me at all. But I was nervous because I was talking. I was nervous and I was talking to people and I was trying very hard. So if I didn't come say hi to anybody, like, before the show, that's why. I really do try not to talk before the show because I tend to talk loud, in case you've met me, and I talk a lot. So it's actually worse for my voice to talk. I'd rather be singing than talking, but it's just something about me. So I try not to do that. But I was so overly concerned about it that I was doing all my normal stuff. I had my water and my tea and stuff, and I was sucking on these lozenges that I used to use like mid set in case I ever needed to get just like one more song out. But I found that it really helps if I'm talking before a show. I was doing this at the Vault Festival too, and it really worked out. But because we were kind of there for so long, I over lozenged myself, if that's a thing. And by the time I got up on stage, my voice was actually so well cared for that I had no rasp in my voice for like the first 7 of 8 songs. It really didn't seem to kick in until we got to another mistake, because I guess I just blown through all the lozenge coating. So let that be a warning to you out there, singers. Like, it is possible to over coddle your voice right before a set, and that honestly had never happened to me before, and then there I was. So I will know that for next time. I have a lot to say about the upcoming show in January, January 29th at Barnum Ballroom. Not all of it is good, but it'll be interesting, and that's kind of what we do here on the show. So I will talk about that at a later time. But for right now, I was asked by special request to play a little Rebel 9 today, and I was truly going through, because I really like playing kind of rare and kind of like outtake kind of things that like only I have access to, and I actually found a version of Easy from it's either from Stony Brook or it's CW Post. I have to go back and look, but then I realized it's Veterans Day. So first of all, thank you, veterans, and happy Veterans Day. And that really leaves me with really only one Rebel 9 song to play, and it's so fondly remembered by me. Like, I remember it very fondly because during that time, when we were touring on the Razorblade Diaries, which was a lot. I mean, we did a lot of weekend dates. We were playing over 100 shows a year at that time, so it was a lot, and we were playing anywhere and everywhere we could. And the song "The Good Fight" was actually written just after we recorded the Razorblade Diaries. So in that time between 2011 and 2015, when the Reality Crush actually came out, we were playing the original version of "The Good Fight" pretty much at every show. At that time, it was one of our biggest singles, or not biggest singles, it was like one of our fan favorites, and then when we released it ahead of the Reality Crush, it became our biggest single to date. It actually outpacing on SoundCloud stuff like San Jose and Another Mistake. It was a very popular song. It was actually the first song that we ever released that was playing somewhere in the world every hour for 24 hours. And that doesn't sound like a big deal, but you try and do it. So it was the first song we ever did that did that. And like I said, we played this song absolutely everywhere. It also is the impetus for one of my favorite Rebel 9 live stories ever. And it's because we were playing Mercury Lounge in New York City. We were doing a Christmas show. We were doing it with Ghosts of Eden, Bound by Substance, and Last Stand for Lucy. And since it was Gotham Rocks, and my friend Kim Hughes was putting it together, she has always has the Marines there to do the Toys for Tots that the Marines do. And just like we always did whenever we played The Good Fight, we would dedicate it to our servicemen and women overseas because, you know, the metaphor in the song is basically about a soldier overseas. And, you know, without getting too much into it, because I'll get upset and I'll just ruin everybody's day, that's why we dedicate it to our servicemen and women overseas and here at home. And we did that. We played the song as we always did. And when I got off stage, a United States Marine saluted me and shook my hand for doing that, for dedicating a song. And I could barely speak to even say thank you because I was so moved because I was in awe of what they do. And this is somebody that took a minute to just appreciate what I do. And I still think I'm undeserving of it, but, you know, I've got years of therapy ahead of me, so maybe I'll get to it sometime. So today, for Veterans Day, thank you all who have served your country in whatever form you do. It is appreciated by me and is appreciated by millions. And one more time, this is for you. It's The Good Fight on The Box.
That I can The thousand times a thousand eyes have stared into, but nothing I've become.
Band is called For Lack of a Term, or you can call them Float. That's what I'm going to call them, Float, because I'm cool like that. They're out of Yonkers, New York. And, yeah, I dig that song. I like it a lot, actually. So, you might know the band Youth Fountain, because I played the ever-loving F out of their song, Letters to Our Former Selves, when I stumbled upon it not all that long ago. I think it's one of the greatest emo, punk, whatever kind of songs ever written, in my opinion. It's also less than 2 minutes, which is just stunning to pack in all that goodness in there. I love that song, and I really like the band, which bummed me out a lot when I found out that Cody left to go basically ruin Real Friends, which is unfortunate. So thereby ruining two bands in the process. But I'm not a hater, and I'm giving everything a chance. And apparently, Taylor was the actual talent behind Youth Fountain, I guess, because they have put out a new album. In fact, it is so new, I'll even give you this. And you know when you hear this, I'm pretty goddamn serious. And I'm happy to say that I actually had trouble deciding what song to go with. I was originally going with Scavengers because I really dig that song, but I think the runaway song on this record for me is something called Century. So I've got brand new Youth Fountain on the goddamn box. That's right, I said it.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
The good people over an all-new episode will be rocking the stage over at Mr. Beery's this Saturday night, along with Bad Mary. It should be a good time for all. If you've forgotten what all new episodes sounds like, I can't even believe the ditch you've been living in or rocks you've been living under, but I will solve that for you right now.
Yeah, man, that sound means only one thing. It's time for your weekly Craving of the Week with Craving Strange here on the Hard Rock Lunchbox. Craving Strange has announced yet another show. Looks like it's going to be Thanksgiving weekend. I'm pretty sure it's that Saturday in November. They're going to be playing the Village Pub South. I think that's in Lindenhurst. Looks like they're going to be playing with Grim Jack, so mark your calendars down for that. I feel like it's time for some somewhat classic Strange. I remember liking this song enough and asking for them to put it on a record, and not because I asked them, but because they felt like it. They eventually put it on a record, which I appreciate. It was always one of my favorite Craving Strange songs live, and I dig it, and maybe you'll dig it too, if you haven't dug it already, in which case we'll re-dig it together here on the box. Everybody, I want to thank you for tolerating me and my nonsense for another 2 hours of your very busy Thursday. We know you have a choice of airlines, and clearly you've made the wrong one. Because of the South Park keepers. So I'm going to send you on your way with a reward today. Not because I'm so great, but because you're so great. And you have earned it. Hopefully I'll see you next week right here on the box. In the meantime, let's see who out there can count.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.